Around dawn of the 10th day of Apert, Sir Aranda, who was one of the beekeepers, discovered that during the night, some ruffians had found their way into the apiary shed, smashed some crockery, and made off with a couple of cases of mead. Nothing so exciting had happened in eons. When I came into the refectory to break my fast, everyone was talking about it. They were still talking about it when I left, which was at about 7. I was due at the year gate at 9. The easy way to get there would have been to go extramuros through the decade gate, walk north through the burgher's town, and approach it from the outside. But thinking about Tullia yesterday had given me the idea of getting there through our lower labyrinth, retracing the steps she had taken at the age of 6. Supposedly, she had made it through in about half a day. I hoped that at my age I could get through it in an hour, but I allowed 2 hours just to be on the safe side. It ended up taking me an hour and a half. As the clock struck 9, I stood, formally wrapped and hooded, at the foot of the bridge that led to the year gate, which rose up before me in its crenellated bastion. Bridge and gate were of similar design to those in the Decenarian math, but twice as big and much more richly decorated. On the first day of Apert, 400 had thronged the plaza that I could now see through the year gate, and cheered as their friends and family had poured out at sunrise to end their year of seclusion. This morning's tour group numbered about 24. A third of them were uniformed 10-year-olds from a Bayesian Orthodox Suvin, or so I guessed from the fact that their teacher was in a nun's habit. The others seemed a typical mix of burghers, artisans, and slines. The latter were recognizable from a distance. They were huge. Some artisans and burghers were huge too, but they wore clothes intended to hide it. The current slime fashion was to wear a garment evolved from an athletic jersey, bright with numerals on the back, but oversized, so that shoulder seams hung around the elbows, and extremely long, descending all the way to the knee. The trousers were too long to be shorts and too short to be pants. They hung a hand's breadth below the jersey, but still exposed a few inches of chunky calf, plunging into enormous, thickly padded shoes. Headgear was a burnoose blazoned with beverage logos whose loose ends trailed down the back, and dark goggles strapped over that and never removed, even indoors. But it was not only clothing that set the slines apart. They had also adopted fashions in how they walked, a rolling, sauntering gait, and how they stood, a pose of exaggerated cool that somehow looked hostile to me. So I could see even from a distance that I had 4 slines in my tour group this morning. This troubled me not at all, because during the previous 9 days there had been no serious trouble on the tours. Fra Degelos had concluded that the slines of this era subscribed to a harmless iconography. They were not half as menacing as their postures. I backed up onto the crest of the bridge to get a little altitude. Once the group had formed up below me, I greeted them and introduced myself. The Suvin kids stood in a neat row in the front. The slines stood together in the back, maintaining some distance to emphasize their exceptional cool, and thumbed their gee-jaws or suckled from bucket-sized containers of sugar water. 2 latecomers were hustling across the plaza, and so I went a little slowly at first, so as not to strand them. I had learned not to expect much in the way of attention span, and so after pointing out the orchard of page trees and the tangles on this side of the river, I led them over to the bridge, into the heart of the Unarian math. We skirted a wedge-shaped slab of red stone, carved all over with the names of the Fras and Sors whose remains lay underneath it. It was our policy not to talk about this unless someone asked. Today, no one did, and so a lot of awkwardness was avoided. The third sack had opened with a week-long siege of the Consent. The walls were far too long to be defended by so few, and so on the third day the Tenors and Hundreders had broken the discipline and withdrawn to the Unarian math, which was somewhat easier to defend because it had a smaller perimeter that included some water barriers. The Thousanders, of course, were safe up on their crag.